The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, threw the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy road. It's a cattle.
Good morning. We're Jefferson. How you doing? Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, right?
Yeah. We're bright-eyed, bushy-tailed.
Right. Yeah, or at least bushy-tailed.
One of the two.
Not so sure about the bright-eyed part. Well, I just want to welcome everybody to Jefferson State of Mind. M-I-N-E. Yours. All of ours. Jefferson State of Mind. So we're working hard to make sure that we accomplish that task. Just want to let everybody know tonight we have a conference call at 7 p.m. We have the conference call on the 2nd and 4th Sunday of the month. Today is the 4th Sunday of the month, therefore it's 7 o'clock tonight. The phone number you can call in at is 408-638-0986. Again, 408-638-0986. And then the access code, once you've dialed that number, it'll prompt you to put that in, and that number is 989-704-2586, hashtag or pound sign for the rest of us. And again, it's 989-704-2586. Pound or hashtag. And if you want to go to the chat room, what you can do is you can go to our calendar on soj51.org, go into the events, and it'll take you to the calendar, go to today's date, and it'll give you the conference call listed there at 7 o'clock. Click on that, and it'll say chat room. Click on the chat room. It'll take you right to the chat room. So you can hear the conference call on the computer, and you can get involved with the chat room as well. So It's a fun thing to do. You can hear it on your computer, and or you can just listen on your phone and read what's going on the chat room. So encourage everybody to participate and ask your questions. And if you have some good feedback for us, or not so good feedback, just give us feedback. We want to hear it all. Let us know what's going on. And then tomorrow night, what do we have at our Patriot meeting? Anything?
We do.
What do we have?
Well, at 5:30, we have our Jefferson meeting.
Yep.
But we'll most likely incorporate that into 6 o'clock also. Okay. We'll have a few things we'll be talking about. And Kathy.
Darling.
Allen.
Yes.
Will be our guest tomorrow night. She's our county clerk.
And she's our voters.
Yes.
Yes.
And it'll be really good to have her in. She's very, very good. Great with questions. She's been always a good guest. I would suggest that all the folks come out, see what she has to say, and if you have questions about voting or questions about maybe even voter fraud or questions about anything as far as
Shasta County specifically, yep.
That is exactly the person to ask. So it should be a very, very good and entertaining evening.
Yep.
And I want to encourage people to go out and vote. We'll talk a little bit here in a minute about the court case and some other issues, but the main thing is we have in 10 days, I guess it's exactly 10 days, we have a day that's going to hopefully not live in infamy.
in the negative.
And instead of a blue wave, we're looking for the crimson tide.
Yes.
So yes. Hopefully we'll be having good news that day. We want to encourage people to go out and vote. Go out and vote, you know, because right now there's a lot of things going on. We have a lot of different things pending in Jefferson. But a lot of those things won't be solved until after the vote. Now, a lot of people say, well, you know, what does the California politics have to do with Jefferson? Well, at this point, just about everything. Because,
right.
In essence, that's buying us time if we get the right people in who will follow the Constitution.
It's the reason we're fighting for Jefferson.
It's the reason we're fighting for Jefferson. And it's about representation,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And there are two main cogs to that, representation and the Second Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the two issues. That's the two things that should be at the foremost of everybody's minds. Now,
what were those again?
Representation and the Second Amendment.
Okay, just make sure. Okay.
Isn't that what I said?
Yeah.
Okay, Ashley's nodding yes. Yeah. Welcome back, Ashley. We love our Ashley. We're glad Ashley's back.
Hello again.
Just a repeat.
Yes, that's a repeat. Is Ashley back?
Yeah, she's back.
I have a short-term memory.
Ditto. What? Yeah.
What?
What?
What? Is her name Ashley? Anyway, yeah, so you got to get out there and vote, folks. That's the main thing. We have to get out there and really, you know, vote for those candidates. I know that everybody will be in eager anticipation to see who our new governor is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I can't see anybody in their right mind voting for Gavin Newsom, but then, you know, I did say your right mind, didn't I?
Yeah, they'll be, yeah.
So what we're going to do is we're going to go off to a quick early break here. My partner and I are going to discuss a couple of things. We'll be talking about voting. We'll be talking about the election. And we also, Wynn has one quick thing before we go here.
Right, right. Before we go to the break, I just want to mention this as well. the Long Affair Bingo Bash, that's going to be held on Saturday, mm-hmm. November 3rd at the VFW Hall in Anderson. And the doors open at 1 p.m. and the games start at 2 p.m. and they go until about 5 o'clock. And the tickets are $20 each. And call Sally at 246-9706.
Yeah.
And she's got all the tickets. And it's a fundraiser for Jefferson because one of our gracious donors bought the tickets and turned them over to us.
Yes.
So he already paid for this to the Lung Association or the local. Is it Lung Association? I don't know. I don't want to misspeak, but I think it is. Anyway, he already donated to them for the tickets. Bought those tickets and turned around and gave us the tickets to turn around and sell as a fundraiser for Jefferson. So you don't have to go, but if you do buy the tickets, those $20 tickets, that $20 goes to Jefferson for the court case.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a double donation there with a generous donor by contributing the way he did. So we are asking everyone to please buy a ticket. And you don't have to go, but if you want to go, they're going to have some pretty good games and prizes and all kinds of good stuff there. And it's an annual event that they have, and I understand it's a pretty good event.
So, I understand it's great.
So, again, that's November 3rd, Saturday, VFW Hall in Anderson. Doors open at 1. Games start at 2. Go till 5. Tickets are $20 each. If you want a ticket or two, call Sally at 246-9706. Or when you come to the meeting tomorrow night, you can get the tickets there.
Well, that must mean the time has come
for 51.
Listen close to what I say. Don't try and take my guns away. You're in the land of the free. This is the home of the brave. And I ain't gonna be your slave. So don't try and take my guns away. The American way.
Did you know that California was never supposed to be just one state? Before the state was formed in 1850, there was discussion of forming three states instead of one. California has an area larger than seven East Coast states combined, and it takes 14 hours to drive from one end of the state to the other. California is simply too large to govern. Rural communities are being outvoted by more densely populated areas. The state of Jefferson is the solution. Please visit SOJ51.net to show your support.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
And
We'll be back.
And the phone number here is 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. Well, we have some news locally here, and that is that Les Baugh and the sheriff got to be with the president. And, you know, along with about 500 other people, but they got to be there, and apparently they gave him an award from Shasta County on the car fire, I guess.
The certificate of appreciation for helping with that?
Yes.
Yep.
And that's good. You know, and I know that, you know, that's a neat thing. And one other thing, too, today I want to let people know is that Preston Sharp and his mom, April, are out putting flags on veterans' graves today. At the cemetery there on Continental, which is...
What time does that start?
It starts at noon.
Noon, okay, that's right.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember the name of that cemetery. It is...
Is it just the Reading Cemetery?
I'm not sure, but it's the one on Continental.
Continental,
and
okay.
And somebody will email 44
Continental,
us.
You can see it from 44.
And somebody will call us and let us know what it is. And Ashley is immediately going to Google. What you got there, kid?
Reading Memorial Park.
Reading Memorial Park.
Yeah, that's why she does this for us. She gets us out of the weeds.
She does.
Unless she tries. she does her best.
Anyway. I can only do so much.
She's not a magician.
Close. Anyway, Preston's going to be out there with his mom, so we encourage people to go out there and help Preston put those flags on the veterans' graves.
I think our family's going to do that today.
Great, yeah. I know Sal's going to be out there. I've got a couple of errands to run, a couple of things to do, and then I'm going to... meet her there.
And I had had a gentleman on our meeting give me cash to give to Preston. So yesterday I drove over to their house and gave it to Preston. So it was good. I had to get it to him before he bought everything or did what he had to do. So he had the money for the cause.
Right.
So, and they're always willing to accept money for where they go and what they do. It costs a lot to put the flowers and the flags up.
Oh, yeah.
And to travel. So if you're able and willing to contribute and donate to Preston, please do so.
What an awesome young man.
Yep.
And his mom. What a great lady.
April, great lady. Yep.
But, you know, when you stop and think about it, it's 180,000, I think. 180,000 graves. He's
something like that. Some crazy
number like that. And so, I believe it is 180,000.
Oh, that's a lot.
I mean, he's just a remarkable young man. Anyway, so that's sort of what's going on here locally. I do want to bring up a couple of things about the court case. And a lot of people say, well, what's going on with the court case? Well, nothing. Because I don't think anything will go on with the court case probably till after the election. I mean, I don't see it.
Yeah, the judge is still sitting on it. We didn't go backwards. We didn't go forward. We didn't go side to side. The judge still has it in her purview, in her sights, or whatever you want to call it, in her coffer there. So she's going to do what she's going to do, and all we can do is wait.
Now, she did say when we were in court on September the 8th that she had a very important criminal trial in front of her, and she said that was going to take some time. And I know that, I'm not sure whether or not it was the two attorneys for that in the case before us when we were in the courtroom. But anyway,
I remember.
Even those folks were put off until November 5th or 6th.
Yeah.
Or maybe after Election Day. But
so
it was,
who knows when we're going to get in.
So my guess would be, folks, is that she'll probably come up with something, I would think, probably after the election. I don't know whether it depends on the election or not, but I would believe because of, quote, her workload, that we wouldn't hear anything till then.
Yeah.
So one thing that, that's been that sort of a topic that's been pretty interesting and maybe a uniting topic, we've talked about the representation issue being the silver bullet, being the main thing that we need here in America. We need to have representation. We need to have our form of a Republican form of government to be enacted by the politicians that we elect. I wish they were statesmen, but in most cases
they're
politicians.
Representatives that we elect?
Yeah.
Because they turn politician once
they
get in there.
Well, some of them start that way.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
So anyway, the thing is that once we have that, once we have it in place where our voices are being heard, then everything else kind of falls into place. Because when our voices are being heard, that means that we can go ahead and take to legislation and get our voices heard and get the legislation that follows the Constitution. Now, one of the big things has been this open carry situation.
Mm-hmm.
And the U.S. Supreme Court has unequivocally stated that open carry of a loaded weapon is the core right protected under the Second Amendment. And the Ninth Circuit has affirmed in Young versus Hawaii, the core right protected under the Second Amendment is the open carry of a loaded weapon, and that right extends beyond the home and into the public areas. That's a fact. That's what's happened. Now, 31 of the states in the United States, folks, allow open carry without a license or permit. 31 of them. Okay?
California's not one, is it?
No. In fact, in only five states, California, Florida, Illinois, New York, and South Carolina, well, as well as the District of Columbia, they prohibit people from openly carrying handguns in public places. Now, they generally prohibit. They don't totally prohibit. Mm-hmm. That's another situation. Now, California prohibits, and according to sheriffs we've talked to, no sheriff really wants to give an open carry permit because it's hard to tell who the good guys are or the bad guys are. However, the same sheriffs say the same thing that concealed carry is something to where that sort of, to a degree, protects the criminal because mm-hmm. if it's concealed and you can't see it, then that's what criminals normally do. You're not going to see Joe Criminal out on the street with a gun on his hip that he's either stolen or gotten illegally. It just isn't going to happen. So you can't have it both ways. And I know that there's a lot of fanfare going on, you know, with people meeting the president, et cetera, et cetera. You know, but what we really have to do is after this election, we've got to get down to brass tacks.
Mm-hmm.
There's a very strong consideration now of a Second Amendment rally, and there'll be many, many things happening after the election, many things. These things that are going to be going on will have to do with Jefferson, the structure of it, et cetera. But there's a lot of exciting things. But again, the election's so important, folks. You've got to get out and vote.
And the reason why it's been delayed is because we've had to deal with the court case. We've had to deal with other issues regarding the court case, and we did not want to put the cart before the horse. So we've had to be careful on timing on everything. So for some of the people that are, you know, not seeing anything happening, it's because, you know, there is a lot going on behind the scenes and a lot of stuff that we can't put out there yet, but in time we will. And so we just have to make sure everybody understands that and just be patient. And I know it's tough to do that. Really tough. The worse it gets here in California, the more impatient we become. And I get that. I totally get that. But please be patient. Please be supportive and help where you can.
And in the distance, Tonto C. Silver, Himosabi.
Good morning. Hey, how you guys doing?
Good morning, Mark.
Yeah, I heard you going on about the open carry, and I can't help myself.
I know.
Dive in on that.
It was on purpose.
You fell now, for the drop.
The way California jumps the hurdle from unconstitutional behavior to constitutional behavior in their mind is Penal Code 26045, where they say that any citizen can temporarily carry a weapon if they feel the presence of imminent and deadly threat. So you somehow can, in your daily life, if you're walking around the store or wherever, downtown or whatever it happens to be, and you see someone who is presenting an imminent and deadly threat to you, you're allowed to all of a sudden produce the weapon, even though you had no right to have the weapon when you left your house and you didn't have a right to carry the weapon and you can't carry a loaded weapon without government permission and so on. If you can make the magic gun appear, then you're allowed to defend your life with it or hold the suspect at bay while the police are called. I mean, some of these things are the most ridiculous things. Now, I did a lot of research and I found a quote by the assemblyman that originally introduced the ban on the open carry of an unloaded weapon. And he said, and this is his quote, "You don't need a gun when you go buy a cheeseburger." Now, constitutionally and lawfully, the government in California has used what they call the balanced interest. In other words, is your enumerated right, this free speech, carrying a weapon, privacy in your home, protection of your papers, the right to a public and speedy trial, those are all enumerated rights. And so the government, what they do when they want to get rid of an enumerated right, they use what's known as balanced interest. In other words, the government has a greater interest in accomplishing some governmental goal than you do in maintaining liberty. And that government interest is usually public safety. They'll say, well, in the interest of the public safety, you can't have a weapon, or we should be able to search without a warrant, or you can only have free speech in free speech zones, or you don't have a right to bail anymore, you don't have a right to a public and speedy trial, because the government has an interest in maintaining some goal they want to maintain that's more important than you maintaining your constitutional right to these things. That's called balanced interest. Well, I'm curious to know how that legislation was justified, even in balanced interest, which the Supreme Court found is not legitimate in Second Amendment cases, and that's Heller versus D.C., Young versus Hawaii, McDonald versus Chicago. Those cases all say that the government may not use balanced interest in the case of enumerated rights, rights that are found in the Bill of Rights. So how is it that you don't need a gun when you go buy a cheeseburger? How does that even satisfy balanced interest? And then when we go back to 1967, when the government took away the right to carry a loaded weapon in the state of California, and that right was clearly intended by Don Mumford, who was an Oakland area state assembly person, to punish the Black Panther Party for their little demonstration they had on the Capitol steps with loaded guns. Lawfully armed, you know, you say whatever you want about the Black Panthers. Quite frankly, that's irrelevant 50 years after the fact. But the point is, these guys were lawfully armed. No one was hurt. They dispersed when the state police asked them to. And Don Mumford, an Oakland area assembly person, in order to punish Black people for having loaded weapons, passed the Mumford Act in 1967, which removed all of your rights to the open carry of a loaded weapon in California. And I'm just curious as to what you guys think the government's motivation could possibly be if they, in fact, think of the Constitution for one nanosecond in their pathetic little lives.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, you nailed it, Kemosabe. I mean, you absolutely nailed it. Yes, we did bait you on.
Yeah. Now, you know, and even when you talk about the sheriff, and, you know, I'm not making a comment on whether the sheriff's a bad guy or a good guy. I don't really know him, and it's not relevant to the discussion. The point is, these sheriffs do not want to see open carry, even though, as Terry said, 31 states have basically permitless open carry. 45 states allow open carry of some form, 31 without a permit probably, and the others with, the other 14 with some kind of government permission slip. But 45 states will allow a weapon in plain sight within their borders, but California and its sheriffs say, well, we can't do that because my officer would be scared. What if he saw a gun? Well, gosh, how many crooks does he walk by and he never sees the gun until they use it on him? I mean, how many people have pulled a gun out at a traffic stop in 1 second, an illegal gun with illegal intent, and killed an officer of the law? Personally,
right.
I'd rather see the gun laying in plain sight on the passenger seat where I know it's there than some guy with his hand stuffed down between the seats with his hand on the illegal gun. In other words, the whole point of open carry is so that everybody knows your intentions and everybody knows who's armed and who isn't armed.
Well,
how many times a day do you pass people that are armed now and you don't even know it?
Hey, Mark, how many sheriffs in these 31 states, and then how many deputies under these sheriffs in these 31 states, how many are there that can actually do this and do it well, and they have the way of identifying them, and they're comfortable, I'm assuming, or they wouldn't be in those positions, to deal with the open carry within their state? Can they do some training and teach our deputies and our sheriffs how to, you know, to grow a pair and to understand how it works and to become calloused with it and understand how it works and know what to look for? I mean, because if there are only 5 states that can't do it, seem to understand how to do it, and one of them is Illinois, the other one's New York, and one's California, all 3 troubled states, you would think the other 31 states might be able to hold their hand, get them through the process so they understand what to do, how to do, and when to do it.
Well, the problem is a lot of times they don't want to know how to do it. I mean, here in California, they don't really want to know how to do it because they have things their own way. And in other words, this is
ignorance is unacceptable.
Guns. As Terry has said many times, this isn't about guns. It's about control. And that's the problem.
And if they don't want to know, then they're being ignorant about it. Why would they want to be ignorant? And I'm not saying ignorance being stupid. Ignorance is just not being in the know. I mean, that's not being stupid. It's just not knowing. Why wouldn't they want to know? Why wouldn't they want to know how to handle that so that they can make a good, solid, educated decision on what to do and how to do it so they can protect themselves, their families, and the sovereign citizens they've sworn to an oath to protect?
Well, I mean, quite frankly, a lot of times ignorance is bliss. Like my little sister, when we used to play hide and seek, she'd stand in the middle of the yard and cover her eyes.
Yeah.
and we played into it because she thought if she couldn't see you, you couldn't see her. You know what,
yep.
What they're saying to themselves is if we can't see it, it means it doesn't exist. And quite frankly, the fact that evil people know that you're armed is a deterrent. First of all, the police have no duty to protect. They couldn't do it even if they wanted to, because quite frankly, they can't be everywhere at once. In my county, they couldn't be everywhere within 2 hours of it once. So, you know, your right to defend is yours. It isn't theirs. It never was theirs. California government code says they don't have any liability for if they fail to protect you. In fact, there is no law that says police forces even need to be formed. So your duty to protect is yours and yours alone. It is a personal responsibility to yourself, your family, your community, your state, and your nation. And if you want to prove that, just go back to April 19, 1775, when a bunch of men decided to protect their community and their nation against their own government, who were on their way to disarm them. Mm-hmm. That's what that fight was about. It wasn't even, I don't even know if they realized the revolution was starting on that ground. But what they did realize is their own government came to disarm them. And they got their lawfully obtained, lawfully carried arms. They went out to the village green and said, you will not take the means to defend myself and my family. You will not. And that's what the Second Amendment represents. So how bad do you want your liberty, folks?
Amen.
Well, yeah. You know, and you make such a good point, Mark, in the fact that, you know, these rights are God-given. These are God-given rights and constitutional rights. You know, and we've always heard, well, okay, well, and I want you to comment on this and maybe think about it. And then after the break, we're going to have to go to one real quick. But I want you to think about this question. And that is, the sheriffs have said, well, you know, we've got to uphold California law. Well, according to Article 3, Section 1 of the state, California state constitution, the state of California recognizes the Constitution of the United States as the supreme law of the land. And they also recognize the fact, meaning the state of California is an inseparable part of that. So that clearly, with no pun intended, does trump any of these silly-ass state laws that we have.
Agreed. Silly-ass state laws. She's hanging her hand over the buzzer.
Well, that's okay. It's in the Bible.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not.
That's true.
Yeah. It's a marginal one.
Yeah.
There's other things you could say.
It was a stretch.
Maybe donkey, I guess. And she's really hovering here. Okay, anyway, with that, Mark, keep that thought in mind. Want to hear your comments on that. Stay with us, Kemosabe. And folks, stay with us, 605-4567, 530-605-4567, because time has come.
For 51.
Put it right there on their flag. You'll have to come and take our gun. They came from Oklahoma. Came from Alabama. Came from Kentucky. With flintlocks in their hands. And they came from Louisiana. Came from Tennessee, wound up in San Antonio, in a mission with no retreat. Come and take it, if you want it. Take the cannabis flag in our land.
When I turned 18, I couldn't wait to vote. After all, voting is a privilege for all Americans, right? Then I did the math. Did you know that the northern third of California only has 3 out of 80 seats in the Assembly and 3 out of 40 seats in the Senate? Northern California has no representation, and my vote doesn't count. Splitting from California and forming the state of Jefferson is the only remedy. Please visit SOJ51.net for more information. Please donate now to help restore representation.
October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Among women, breast cancer is the second leading cause of cancer death. Early detection and treatment is a key, along with prevention. Reduce your risk by exercising more, drinking alcohol less, and eating a healthy diet. If you're over 40, have a regular screening and mammogram.
This message brought to you by Dr. Pomela DeNuca and Pace Cancer Center on Court Street in Reading. Positive attitude, care, and excellence.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004.
but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You'll never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
By the free and died to save a ragged flag that says, don't tread on me, don't tread on me. I'm a rattlesnake with diamonds on my back. When other men retreat, that's just the time that I attack.
Be back.
Cause a dream that's worth defending is a dream that's found to be.
I like that tune.
I do too.
It's a snappy little tune.
That it is. Like it.
Cool. All right, we're back at it. Mark, you still there?
Yeah, Kemosabe, yeah. We do have a caller on the other line.
So,
are you there, Kemosabe?
Yep. Yeah.
Good. Okay, let's see who this is.
Just in the nick of time.
Is it Nick?
Nick.
Okay, Nick, you've got Mark on. Now, usually when we have two lines coming in...
You can't hear each other and you can't hear us, and we can hear you.
We can hear you, but you two won't be able to hear each other because we just sort of a little issue we have at times with the phone. So
we're going
to
get our string in...
Comments, and let me make my comments, and I'll hang up, and I can hear what Mark has to say. The first one, you guys are pushing this bingo game as a fundraiser, and you know what? That's our parents' and our grandparents' game. Maybe you should switch it to spin the bottle to get more predictions.
Ashley just raised her hand.
Okay, here's my comment. If you want to see a society that has gun control, look no further than Mexico. The only ones that have guns are the criminals and the government. And as far as I'm concerned, that's the murder capital of the world right now. That's my comment. Thank you. Have a great day.
Thanks, Nick.
Thank you, Nick. And he's not wrong.
Kemosabe, what say you?
Well, I mean, first of all, Nick's right. But second of all, let's just go back to the natural order of life. I mean, let's go back several thousand years to the Israelites. What if they had gone to Pharaoh and said, let my people go? And he said, no, I'm just not doing it. And you can't stop me because you don't have any rights and you don't have any options or avenues. You know, what would history have been? I mean, you look at every tyrannical society, tyrannical government. I mean, when the Mongols were invading Europe, did people stand there unarmed and say, well, you know, the government says we really shouldn't have these weapons and they'll protect us from everything. You look at anyone who's been a victim of bandits, anyone who's been a victim of attack. Look at the history of the United States itself, the history of Europe, the history of Asia. You look at governments killing their own people all over Africa, Asia, Eastern Europe, the Middle East. I mean, what are you thinking to say the government's going to protect me? The government isn't going to protect you. The government's going to take everything you have and attack you in the end. I mean, you know, we may live in a country right now where there hasn't been any, I don't know how else to put this, overt tyranny in a while. But does that mean we're immune? Does that mean it'll never happen? If you think that, ask the family of every single person murdered by an illegal alien whether they think that. Ask the families of every single person ever murdered by an armed robber out in the public arena. Luby's Cafeteria in Texas comes right to mind. The synagogue in Pennsylvania comes right to mind. Ask the family of anyone whether after the fact they wish to hell they'd have had a gun and the knowledge to use that weapon at the time. Ask them, do they think they could have maybe helped, stopped it, prevented some of the violence? I mean, you know, that's not even to mention governments attacking their own people like the government does in California all the time. And we don't have the means to resist. And in fact, we have a bunch of county sheriffs that kind of like it that way. They're in charge of who gets to have a weapon, who doesn't, where the weapon's carried, when it's carried, how it's carried, what kind of weapon you have. Do they know exactly what your weapon is or not? Do they approve of that weapon? Does California DOJ has a list of weapons they approve of and weapons they don't approve of? they approve of certain rifles and they don't approve of other rifles because they invented a term politically, a term called the assault weapon, which means nothing. It's a, you know, semi-automatic technology is well over 100 years old. It's been in common use for well over 100 years. But now all of a sudden, if your gun has pieces of plastic that make it look evil, can you imagine that? An inanimate object that is being banned because, quote, it has certain evil features, as though those features make the make that piece of equipment more or less evil.
Well,
you know, does anybody else see the con job going on here?
Well, yeah,
you better stand up now.
Yeah, you're right about all of that. The thing is that we have sheriffs that say, but our officers get nervous. Well, okay, let's outlaw guns because the officers get nervous. The sad thing is that a lot of these people who are now sheriffs were working during a time in California, probably all of them were, that you could open carry. And it may not be the weapon at that time may not have been able to be loaded, but you still had a magazine in the other pocket. The whole thing is they were police officers then. Were they not nervous then? I mean,
well, I mean, and also look at the other 45 states.
Right.
Just because you are allowed, in other words, the Second Amendment isn't compulsory. Just because you have a Second Amendment doesn't mean you as an individual must carry a weapon every day and must be lethal at all times toward any threat you see coming. Far from it. The Second Amendment simply implies that when evil approaches you, they won't know whether you're a proponent or not. And that's the point of it. A lot of it is just deterrence. Heck, I can tell you, I can probably name 100 people right off the top of my head that even if the Second Amendment were unrestricted in California, they wouldn't carry a gun. Too lazy, don't own one, don't care, don't think it's a worry, don't think they need to, don't want to. Too heavy, too bulky, digs into their car seat. You know, I could go on and on. So the point is that whether the Second Amendment is unrestricted in California or not, it doesn't mean there's going to be a wave of people carrying their guns. There'll be some and some won't. But when you look at the other 45 states, I have not heard one single article, not one report, even by the communist news services, ABC, NBC, CNN, and so on, that crime waves have broken out all over states that allow open carry. Not one. So what these guys are afraid of does not exist except in their own mind. And we as the people, and quite frankly, I don't care what they're afraid of. As an officer of the law, if you're afraid of the behavior of the law-abiding citizens whom you serve, then maybe you need to work at McDonald's or someplace that's a little less threatening to you.
Yeah, if you go buy a cheeseburger.
You get paid. You get paid to do a job, and that's to serve the public. And if you can't do that job, I mean my job, if there were parts of my job that just scared me, then I need to be in a different line of work, period.
Okay, we have the professor on the other line. Professor, good to hear you, my good friend. How you doing? Professor, are you there?
Good morning.
How you doing, buddy? Haven't heard from you for a while.
And thanks for all that you do, and I think what I'm about to say ties into what you're talking about. I'm currently reading a research book, Endangered Minds, Why Children Don't Think, and What We Can Do About It. I would change the latter part of that title to Why People Don't Think and What We Can Do About It. And my point is the book was published in 1990. So therefore, due to the fact it's research, the people researched were out of the 80s. So therefore, the people that we have in government offices come out of the 80s. And therefore, they don't threat. I coined that, which means they do not think, they do not reason, therefore, they do not and cannot communicate. I'll say it again. They don't think, they don't reason, and they don't communicate. And if you think, most people do not think past the end of their nose. That is anything, it's future, like I had students in the classroom. If it was Monday, the future was Wednesday. Friday wasn't even thought about. And that's where most of society is, and they do not think, reason, or communicate past the end of their nose.
Mark,
You're not going to get an argument.
You know, that's what I don't expect any answers. I just throw that out because that's what society has become. They want immediate answers, and they want somebody else to give them the immediate answers.
Yeah, what Mark said basically is he agrees with you, as we all do here. And yeah, you're right on, spot on, Professor.
Do they even teach a critical thinking course anymore in high school or even in college any longer? I know I took it, and it does allow you to do that. It addresses those issues, and you need to think that way. If you don't, then you're exactly right, Professor.
Well, you know what? They don't teach that course.
Right, and I think it's an uphill.
Hey, guys.
Gary, stop. Mark is speaking. Hold on just a second.
Again, part of the problem is when one person speaks, and we have two people on the lines, if one person is speaking, the other person can't hear that other person. We can hear you, and you can probably hear us, but you won't be able to hear the other person. So,
yeah,
Mark, you had a comment.
Yeah, the string and the cam don't work well.
They don't teach critical thinking, but they do teach the joys of a transgender lifestyle to kindergartners now in some states.
There you go.
Well, they don't think it. We do not demand it of one another.
That's right.
Anyway.
Well, the professor has made a great point, and here's the thing. We do not demand excellence
of
ourselves.
Enough said. Again, thank you all three for doing so much that you do. Take care.
Thank you, Gary. We apologize for the communication issues here. The strings and the cans are not working well together today. maybe we'll update it with fish line instead of just a cotton string that we've got going on here.
I think there is an issue with the phones, and hopefully, there's an issue. Ashley's nodding her head. So, Carl, there's an issue with the phones.
Yeah, but he knows
there just is. You know.
He knows that. He deals with it daily.
Okay.
You would think. Sorry, guys, and we're sorry for the listeners because that's how it rolls here, but we're making the best with what we got here.
Yes. Anyway, Mark, you were saying.
Well, I think that is an issue. We don't demand excellence of ourselves. In other words, everything that's happening in this state is, you know, this isn't a mystery or a secret how it happened. You have a Senate pro tem who's now running for United States Senate that tells his buddies, pass whatever gun law you want. Don't worry about the Constitution. We'll let the court sort it out. You have a court that's in charge of a legislature, not a legislature in charge of a court. You have a court in charge of the executive, not the executive in charge of the court. And no one says a word about it. The citizens of California don't demand excellence of their government. They don't demand accountability. We've allowed our liberty to slip away. We did that. We did it to ourselves. It's our own fault. But here's the good news. We can stop it, and we can regain our liberty the instant we choose to do so and the instant we're willing to act in order to accomplish that goal.
Well, Mark, you make a very good point, and I know that about 2 months ago we had a very interesting film about the judicial system, and there are many federal court judges that spoke on this particular film, and the common consensus is the Constitution doesn't matter in the courtroom. The law is what I say it is. In fact, many of them said this. The law is what I say it is in my courtroom. The Constitution is what I say it is in my courtroom. And this was just blatant and open. And I think that we have hit a position of corruption with our court system that, you know, we need to repair that or we're in a world of hurt. Again, representation is the silver bullet, and the vehicle that we use that silver bullet is our Second Amendment.
Yeah, literally. Well, and it goes back to people putting in the effort, energy, the sacrifice, and commitment to holding the representatives that we've elected accountable to doing everything we've just been discussing.
Right.
And people aren't willing to do that because it's easier to let somebody else deal with it or not than it is for you as your own sovereign citizen yourself to step up and say, hey, I don't know enough about this. How do I learn about it? And who else wants to go in with me on this? You know, you just have to start developing and getting groups together to do this. And that's what Jefferson's about. We've got groups of people within 23 counties. Those are the committed counties that have committed by putting themselves on the line by filing the documentation, the declarations that are filed with the state, with a couple different agencies with the state. We have committed to that, and there are thousands and thousands of people that are committed to doing that within the 23 counties. There are other people within other counties within the state of California that are helping us with this. They're offering help. They're doing financial contributions and everything else. So we are getting help, but we need a lot more help, and we need more people committed to doing this and not just sit on the sidelines waiting for it to happen and then come in once, you know, the ink is dry and everything else is happening and say, oh, well, hey, you know, I'm willing to help now. No, help when it's really dirty, when it's hard to do it. It's hard right now, and people need to understand that. We need more help. And the more people that help, the more you get engaged, the more you're going to breed that, if you will, amongst yourself, your own circle, your social circle, and other people will understand. So it's just a matter of learning what's going on and go into it knowing that you don't know everything. That's okay, because none of us did going into this. We still know very little about certain things, but we know a lot about other things that we have to do. So we're still working very hard to make it happen, and I just encourage everybody that hears this, please help out. In any way you can, please help.
We have a caller on the line, Terry G. How are you, darling?
Good morning.
One of the triplets. One of the triplets.
Hello. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good, good.
I am calling in kind of to follow up on first the election, but more important, representation. So I decided yesterday after I got home from the headquarters to do some research about what the polls might be showing.
We're muted.
And in particular, I picked up a rather lengthy document from the Public Policy Institute. First of all, I can tell you that in all polls, it appears that both LaMalfa and McClintock appear to have a 7 to 8 point spread over their opponents. The public policy showed 11 points with Newsom and Cox, Newsom taking the lead there. And the yes on 6, 7 spread with 48% leaning to no. But the one thing I found interesting in as far as representations and considering ourselves null and void, more or less, is the Public Policy Institute surveys throughout the state of California. However, 16 counties in northern and central county in California are not even surveyed. And those are most of our counties. Well, all of them are, except for Shasta, El Dorado, and Placer. So there's that those people out there that pretty much don't count. And so I did email them and raise the issue, and I'm looking for an answer, hopefully to come maybe tomorrow from them. They did respond that they had received my email, but I just found it kind of disheartening and very curious.
So 16 counties within the territory of Jefferson, is that what you were saying, Terry?
Yes, yes.
Okay, so they're not even surveyed in the polls?
No, no, not at all.
And then when you said El Dorado, Shasta, and Placer was what now?
Were included.
They were included in the polls?
Right.
Okay.
But no Lassen, no Plumas, and on and on and on.
Be interesting to find out if anybody else, you know, any of the callers or the listeners have ever been polled. I've never been polled. I know Terry does
right.
a poll once
well,
in a while, but
and,
I've never.
I talk to people quite often, not just with this poll, but others that
yeah.
don't, you know, claim the same. I have, but not by the Public Policy Institute. And this is pretty extensive report on with a lot of questions, such as, do you prefer bigger government or small government? 54% want more, you know, with more services. The answers through most of the service through this survey are exactly what you would expect to see by a liberal-dominated state.
Okay. Now, Terry, can you bring this information out tonight on our phone call? Would you be willing to do that?
Sure.
Okay,
yes,
well,
definitely.
Can you give the phone call number again? Folks, it's very important that you get on our phone call tonight for the state of Jefferson. Terry will be bringing this stuff up. Mark Baird will be speaking tonight about some of these Second Amendment issues, and we'll have a few more things we'll be talking about tonight. So when?
Yeah, tonight at 7 o'clock. The phone number to call is 408-638-0986. Again, 408-638-0986. And then the access code, once prompted, that access code is 989-704-2586, pound or hashtag. Again, 989-704-2586, pound or hashtag. You can also go to the website, soj51.org, go to events and calendars, click on this calendar for today's date, and click on the chat for today's meeting, and click on chat room, and it'll take you right into it, and you can get registered into there, and you can read what's going on, and or you can listen through your computer either way, or you can just listen through your phone, whichever choice you'd like to listen to the system on, and participate and ask your questions and give feedback.
Okay, guys, we've got just a couple of minutes left. So, Terry, do you have anything quickly in closing?
Just very quickly, I'm very encouraged by, I've said this before, the amount of people I have coming in to the office who are aware and supportive of Jefferson, and some have even signed support statements. The other thing on the phone calls we're doing, we've made about 5,000 phone calls so far to get out the vote. We have Democrats that are telling us that they are fed up and disappointed with the Democrat Party, and they have decided, one in particular said he's not voting for any candidates this time. He will vote on the propositions and a yes on six. The other thing I saw yesterday, and I sent the link over to Sally, was this walkaway movement.
Yes, I saw that.
And what they did in Washington, D.C. And that should be very encouraging. And like with Jefferson, you know, they're pretty fed up as business as usual. So let's get on those bandwagons and, you know, be optimistic. You know, we don't know how the election's going to go, but we've got to keep fighting.
Amen.
And we are making some inruns.
Thank you, my dear. Say hello to the other two triplets for me.
I sure will. And okay. We had a wonderful time seeing Dinesh D'Souza
live
on Wednesday.
Yes, yes. You can talk about that a little bit tonight, too. That'd be great.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Terry.
Have a good day.
Thanks, Terry.
Kimo Sabe, you got a couple minutes left, buddy. You want to bring us home?
Well, I think what Terry says is very important. First of all, I think there are a lot of Democrats. I mean, my mother was a Democrat, a lifelong Democrat. She was a Kennedy Democrat, and before that, a lot of Democratic votes in her past, and she would roll over in her grave. She would never vote for the Democratic Party of today. She was a Democrat, not a socialist. I think that the walkaway movement is gaining steam. And you know what? Look, let's just explain to people on the other side of the aisle that we support liberty. We don't really support party. We support constitutional liberty, and that's for everyone in all aspects of their life. And so, you know, challenge people, you know, say, look, let me try to change your mind and do it civilly, but do your research, do your homework. And the time has come for 51.
Amen, brother.
It truly has. Thanks, Mark, for being on the program, buddy.
Okay, well, I want to encourage everybody to listen to the call tonight.
And remember, tomorrow at 6 o'clock at 2570 Bonneview Road.
Yep.
At the church that shall remain nameless. Right, yep. Ashley?
Yep.
But there is a church there.
Yep, there is.
And we will be having our meeting. We'll be having Kathy.
Darling.
Allen.
Yes.
In, and she is our county clerk. Great lady.
Yep.
And very, very good to listen to. Very good in her answers. Actually answers a question.
She does. Mm-hmm. Even the hard ones.
She does.
She doesn't skirt the issue.
We're kind of starting to sound like Diamond and Silk.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh.
You know? Anyway. All right, guys. Well, listen. Everybody have a great day. And remember, keep your powder dry.
And
because time has come.
For 51.
It's not our bill. We had no say. Don't serve us, you serve L.A. The time has come for 51 in the Jefferson state of mind. You don't know us, you have no clue, until you tell us what to do. We don't know you, what you face. It's time to start
brand new state. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.